We're talking about the FAFSA on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is the form students must fill out every year to qualify for federal grants, to qualify for loans, other financial aid from colleges and universities. Wisconsin high school seniors are completing the FAFSA at a slower pace than last year. Have you started to fill yours out? What would you tell someone before they get started? It's 800-642-1234. Kelly Meyerhofer covers higher education for the Wisconsin State Journal. Kelly, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me, Kate.
Well, tell us what you're seeing with families on the FAFSA, the Free Application for Federal Student Aid.
Yeah, this is a national trend, so it's not just happening in Wisconsin, but across the country, there are fewer high school seniors completing the FAFSA. In Wisconsin, we're down about 13% from where we were last school year. So this is kind of raising some concerns among education experts that this is a sign that fewer students might be going off to college next fall.
Do we have any indication why these numbers might be so off?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the pandemic again, is what experts have told me. A lot of the FAFSA nights that are held in high school auditoriums and, you know, talks with guidance counselors in their offices have moved online. And, you know, students with their classes already online, they're just sort of facing Zoom fatigue. So it's hard to get them engaged in that process.
How does Wisconsin compare with the rest of the country? You said this is a nationwide trend.
Yeah, it is. I mean, so the FAFSA opens October 1st, and, you know, in roughly the first 3 months, we've had about 29% of Wisconsin's high school seniors fill it out so far. And that completion ranks 33rd in the country right now, so towards the bottom.
You also found the decline is worse at schools that serve a large number of low-income students and students of color. What do you see there?
Yeah, it's down a lot more in those two categories. I think the latest numbers for schools with a large population of students of color, it's down about 15%, you know, compared to like 6% in schools with not as many students of color. And then there's also a much higher completion rate for low-income students.
Could this be a leading indicator for what enrollment might be like at colleges in the fall?
I mean, it could be. I mean, the experts I've talked to have said there's still time to turn this around. They've added on additional sort of online FAFSA sessions to help students. Those are being held like next month and through the spring. But there is a worry, I mean, particularly among colleges, that enrollment could be down. You know, it's worth noting that enrollment was already down this past fall, which some of that is attributed to the pandemic.
If you're just joining us, we're talking about a drop in financial aid applications this year with the FAFSA. Higher education reporter Kelly Meyerhofer from the Wisconsin State Journal has been reporting on this. You can join in with your experience on the FAFSA, 800-642-1234. Kelly, how are schools trying to increase the number of FAFSAs and making sure that they are completed? This is a really long form.
Yeah, it's a very complicated form. I remember filling it out with my mom sitting right next to me, and we had all the tax documents laid out on the desk. It's really complicated. And districts, you know, they've moved a lot of their outreach online and through the phone during the pandemic this year. I'm told that the State Department of Public Instruction is going to be giving student-level data to school districts on which students have and haven't completed the FAFSA, so that will sort of help high school counselors target their outreach to specific students.
Yeah, and certainly having that data will really help guide counselors as to where they might be able to connect directly maybe with students and say, is there something I can do?
Right, yeah.
You know, Why is the FAFSA so difficult for families to complete?
Well, I mean, it requires your parents' tax information. So for some students, you know, if they're the first in their family to go to college, if they're, you know, a lower income student or, you know, come from a family where English is not their first language, it's already, you know, you're already facing a lot of barriers. You know, some counselors I talked to, they said that there's situations where, you know, if you're a foster student, you don't have your parents' tax information. So there's just very, like, specific scenarios for each student, and sometimes even high school counselors don't always, you know, cover those sort of scenarios. So they often tap like UW-Madison or Madison Area Technical College, their financial aid offices to help them. So it's sort of it takes a village mentality to try to help each individual student through this process.
Kelly, you mentioned having all the tax forms laid out in front of you. You know, this year with the pandemic, 2020 has been really traumatic. People losing jobs, having their hours cut. How could that affect their application?
Yeah, that's just, you know, yet another complication because of the pandemic is that students, you know, are relying on their 2019 tax information because people, you know, are just starting to file their 2020 tax information now. So by using the 2019 information, you know, it doesn't always capture, you know, a parent who lost their job or got a pay cut or something like that. Experts I talked to said that students can appeal to their college's financial aid office, you know, after they're accepted, and that may help them, you know, but there's obviously no guarantee in that, and financial aid offices are getting a lot more appeals than what they normally would.
We're hearing from the federal level the FAFSA is being simplified due to the government spending bill in December, and the expected family contribution is going away in the FAFSA. What does this mean for the FAFSA being simplified?
Yeah, that's a really encouraging thing that counselors have told me about, is that there's going to be simplification of the form. I think currently it's like something like over 100 questions. And
108, yeah.
108, yeah. And now it's going to be significantly down. But I think it is going to take a few years before that new form takes effect. I mean, it's not like happening next month. So yeah. We're sort of stuck in the situation that we're in right now for students.
Let's bring in Steve now in Stevens Point. Hi, Steve.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, go ahead. What is your situation?
Well, I'm 27 now. I graduated college. I went to UW-Stevens Point, great school. But I'm the only one of three brothers to actually fill out the FAFSA fully, all 107 questions, like she said. But my younger brother had filled it out on one of those websites that offers a free consultation. You know, they come off as this official source, and he was so embarrassed, he was confused, he didn't recognize what was going on, and so he ended up not completing that, where they had, you know, they had charged him $60 by the end of it, and he didn't even complete his full FAFSA. He ended up missing the enrollment deadlines, and he never went to college. So he works in trades now. He earns just about as much as I do. It worked out for him, but for the amount of people who don't fill it out and then are stuck at lower paying jobs, I think that's a
barrier
that needs to be addressed.
Yes. Yeah. Steve, thank you for the call. And, you know, there you see, Kelly, that there are even consultants in this business trying to get students to come to them in order to help get it filled out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a problem. And the schools are really trying to work with students. And they encourage everyone to fill it out. I mean, even if you do go to a trade school or a technical college, you are still, you know, encouraged to fill it out because you could still get, you know, like a federal grant that would, for a tech college, and their tuition rate would cover almost, you know, the entire cost of it. So.
And then as we wrap up here, what is the deadline for completing the FAFSA?
That's a good question. I don't know off the top of my head, but I
sometime
think a lot of colleges... They have sort of a rolling, I think for like Madison Area Technical College, you know, you can still fill it out in the summer even, and counselors work with them still at that time.
Kelly,
but
thank you for joining. Fill it out as soon as possible. Yeah, because that aid is going to start being dispersed. Kelly, thank you for joining us.
Yes, thanks, Kate.
Kelly Meyerhofer covers higher education for the Wisconsin State Journal. Coming up, we talk with the head of the Wisconsin Technical College System. Do you attend one of Wisconsin's 16 technical colleges? What program are you in? How is coursework in the pandemic? Share your experience, 800-642-1234. We'll be back in a minute with President Morna Foy here on the Ideas Network. Checking in on technical colleges in Wisconsin now. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Wisconsin has 16 technical colleges, 49 campuses, hundreds of thousands of students who attend these colleges each year. Are you one of them? How have you been affected by the pandemic and courses moving online? Will you be able to finish your technical degree program? Are you thinking of pursuing a new program due to COVID and changes in the economy? Join in, 800-642-1234. Morna Foy is president of the Wisconsin Technical College System. President Foy, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate.
Good morning. We last talked in March, at the outset of this pandemic, as you were rushing to get virtual instruction online. How is instruction being delivered now? How is it going?
It's going, I think, quite well in terms of our ability to make the adjustment and our ability to identify those things that students need in this new in-learning environment. As we talked about in March, technical colleges have the ability to make change quickly, and that was really valuable culture and capacity when the pandemic hit. We were very able to very rapidly move to more of a virtual environment. We had to work with our licensing boards and our credentialers to make sure that students would have the same opportunity to complete their degrees last spring. And I think we did a good job of that in terms of students who are on the cusp of graduation, even if we had to extend their courses into the summer to allow them to finish. We are seeing a little bit of an enrollment decline this fall. It's across the state. It's about 15%. But I think that, the reasons for that, the number one reason for that seems to be the fact that most of our students who, are part-time, but many of them are parents, their kids are at home now instead of in school, or the lack of child care. And the other big reason is people feeling the need to work more to make up for the temporary loss of income when the pandemic first hit. So those are because those are the reasons why students are putting a pause on their technical college education, or what I think happens more often, they're taking fewer course credits. We're going to bounce back, I think, is the point.
And it's really interesting. Yeah, it's interesting because enrollment patterns at technical and community colleges historically shift based on the economy. Enrollment usually goes up when the economy is bad, down when the economy is good. But that seems to be all upended in this pandemic.
Exactly. And that was, I think, very disturbing for many of our sort of outside customers, employers. Saying, hey, I thought you guys would have more students in your system. Policymakers, I think, felt the same. Mm-hmm. But that's what's, the pandemic is bringing a lot of new considerations and exposing some longstanding truths, which is, in our case, that many of our students are older. They are parents themselves, and they're working full-time, so this pandemic has affected those people differently. The fact that they have kids at home now, I think the bandwidth necessary to go to school and work full-time is a pretty big challenge for anybody. But to add on top of that, helping your kids go to their school, and or taking care of a preschool child at home. It's a lot. It's a lot to ask, and we've made some changes to help accommodate those kinds of students. But I think that we have to just be realistic about the fact that
there are some barriers you just can't,
right?
Yeah, that you just can't fully address. If you're just joining us, we're talking about Wisconsin's technical colleges with Assistant President Morna Foy. What would you like to ask the head of the system? What do you want to know about the system's response to COVID or how it's handling other issues? Join in your experience, your questions, 800-642-1234. President Foy, you know, in Governor Evers' State of the State address, he declared this year the year of broadband access. How much of an issue is broadband for technical colleges?
It's a pretty big issue. I think that the pandemic has really highlighted a trend that we have been seeing in higher ed and truly in our economy for at least a decade, if not longer, and that is that the world is operating virtually in many respects. And we have large portions of Wisconsin where there are entrepreneurs, there are technical colleges, there are libraries, there are medical facilities. All of them are dependent on broadband to really deliver services that you would expect to experience here in Madison or in Milwaukee. You know, if you live in a small town in Wisconsin, you still want access to those same services. And if you want to do business in small town Wisconsin, you absolutely need access to those, to broadband. So we support Governor Evers' Year of the Broadband. We've had a lot of positive conversations with legislators on this same topic. And I think that rural Wisconsin needs and deserves better broadband access.
Well, meanwhile, your students need to get their coursework done. What do you tell them
Absolutely.
If they can't get it at home? Do you tell them to go to the library? What do they do?
We have made a lot of efforts for our students directly to make sure that they have the access that they need. And that's involved, I think, some pretty creative work by colleges. You know, we've talked before about how we have made Wi-Fi available on our campuses so that students can come to parking lots and do their work. We've kind of put that effort on the extreme by hanging hotspots outside of our buildings and then taking those to community sites as well, gas stations, convenience stores, any place that has a parking lot and has a structure that we can make that
How's
Wi-Fi
the technology?
Available. We've
uh-huh.
been doing it, yep. We've also made it available to students to take home software and hardware so that they can access it from their home if that's possible. It's again, we're doing the things that to make sure that our students can access Wi-Fi, but I think that the need goes beyond just technical college students.
So, President Foy, as the vaccine rollout continues, as teachers become next in line, do you anticipate mm-hmm. keeping courses online after the pandemic eases, or will you go back to in-person instruction?
We will definitely go back to in-person instruction to a greater degree. I mean, Kate, we actually never stopped in-person instruction 100%. Mm-hmm. We continue to provide many of our program areas, you know, there's really no other way to do it. Students have to have that hands-on, face-to-face experience in the classroom, and because that's what it's going to be like at work.
Yeah.
Many of our essential program areas, there's just no other option.
You can't take a diesel engine apart online.
Well, not fully.
or not.
Okay. There's amazing virtual software out there, but not the only way you do it.
So, okay.
And that's really what we've moved to. I mean, we're about 70% virtual right now, I would say. I mean, that's just a gross estimate across all of our colleges. But what we've really accelerated is our use of virtual technology and software. And what we've discovered is that for some students, not all, many students, you know, they chose a technical college because they wanted that small class size, that face-to-face contact.
That hands-on learning.
Mm-hmm. That hands-on learning, absolutely. And they want that back, 100%, and they will get it. But we've also discovered that for many of our students who, again, are juggling work, home, other, you know, family obligations, the virtual option has been just terrific. And their outcomes, their learning outcomes have been as good or better, and they want that option. So, you know, there's a lot of talk about let's get back to normal, as is, let's get back to the way things were. That's not going to happen in the technical college system.
Let's pause.
A new version.
Yeah. Let's pause there with President Morna Foy from the Wisconsin Technical College System as we look at how this education system is holding up. We'll talk more right after this news update here on the Ideas Network. You're with us for the morning show as we check in on Wisconsin's technical college system. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're exploring how to have a trained and skilled workforce ready to step into jobs once COVID subsides and what new careers the pandemic will usher in. Are you an employer struggling to fill positions? Have you partnered on training with a technical college? How did that go? Have you pitched a new training program to fill a set of jobs in your area? What was that experience like? Be part of this. 800-642-1234. Morna Foy is president of the Wisconsin Technical College System, consisting of 16 colleges around the state, and she stays with us. Let's bring in Nate now in Eau Claire. Hi, Nate. What would you like to say?
Hi. I see a lot of classes going online as a good opportunity for someone like me who's working full-time. The only concern I have is if I would go and start taking online classes, if after the pandemic's over, they would move more to in-person and then suddenly I wouldn't be able to take the classes anymore. Is that been considered or is that not quite in the pipe yet?
Nate, thank you. Go ahead, President Foy.
Yeah, hi, Nate, and thanks for your call. Actually, that's just exactly on point to where we left our conversation. I don't think that we're going to see a return to the same delivery distribution that we had prior to the pandemic. And by that, I mean the vast majority of our classes only being offered face-to-face and then a smaller percent of them being offered online, 100%. I think right now you're going to see more of a blended or a parallel offerings. So courses will be available both face-to-face and online. And I really think you're going to see much more use of the what we call the blended delivery model, which means that things that can be done virtually fairly easily, a lecture class, for example, a study group, that we would make that available virtually, and then we would bring students into campus for less time, but still give them that option or opportunity, and in some place times requirement, to be face-to-face to demonstrate skills and to learn how to do things that require you to be, you know, touching equipment or, in the case of our nursing or healthcare students, you know, delivering care. So I was referring to, but, you know, we're not going to go back to the way things were. We're going to take advantage of lessons that we've learned from the pandemic to deliver more flexibility and more options to students in the future.
I imagine that this is also causing you to look to faculty to be a lot more flexible in how they deliver their coursework, how they deliver their content.
Yes, although we were very fortunate because technical college faculty are well known for being pretty innovative, pretty creative, and pretty flexible. We already offer courses 24/7 in some cases, but in different locations and in different formats. We really try to meet learners in the way that they best learn. So our faculty are used to changing things up, But I think the move, you know, the extent to which we had to move virtually, and especially in those program areas where face-to-face and hands-on is really, you know, the dominant delivery model, we did have to do some work. We asked our faculty to make this change really fast, and we continued to work on their skill set and the tools that they had to deliver it throughout the – well, we're still working on that. We've developed professional development programs for our faculty. We've built communities of practice across the colleges so that they can help each other out. And, you know, again, we had the backbone, the infrastructure to allow this kind of collaboration. We've always operated that way. So that was very, very helpful as we try to move into this new world of higher ed.
Let's turn our attention now to cost and funding. Governor Evers plans to introduce his proposed state budget next month. That kicks off, you know, months of debate in the Capitol over funding levels. The technical college system has requested a $24 million increase over 2 years. How would this money be used?
It's a very targeted investment. It would be used to provide short-term credentials for employment in essential areas like healthcare, protective services, logistics, transportation, information technology. I mean, there's a list of essential careers in the state that technical colleges provide education programs for. And, you know, we see this as a way to help a lot of folks who need to find different employment quickly, and to help the employers in this state find the talent that they need quickly. And, you know, we're envisioning being able to get about 2,000 people a year moved into a better career with these funds. So it's a quick infusion of some pretty fast talent development. And I think, you know, that's one thing that I think someone mentioned earlier in the program, that, you know, how are employers changing, and do they think their need for employees is going to grow post-pandemic? And the truth is that many of our employers, their need for help has not changed. Their ability to run, shifts maybe at their plant had to be temporarily altered or slowed down as we all work through safety protocols and, how do we make sure that our operations are going to be safe for our customers and our employees? But, you know, honestly, nursing, healthcare, respiratory therapists, law enforcement, first responders, folks who can help with moving vaccinations, for example, delivering them. There's just a variety of the folks that there has been no shortage or no shortage in demand for construction folks, the people who can help you with your home that you are spending much more time in. And now, you know, an electrical problem is not something that can be put off. Your access to Wi-Fi, if you are so fortunate to have that at your home, it's in your working from home, it needs to be functioning. So we have a lot of employers in the state who are still in great need of talent. And so we're continuing to work to make sure that they have it.
We're talking with Morna Foy. She's president of the Wisconsin Technical College System. As we look at how the system is faring in the pandemic, are you in a technical college? What is your experience like? Are you mostly online, or do you have some face-to-face learning? Join in with your situation, your questions about how technical colleges work, 800-642-1234. You know, with this $24 million, the system says the money would provide grants for about 2,000 students each year, targeting adult basic education students and English language learners. Why, in particular, these students needing grant support?
Well, I think that they are the population that was in many ways hardest hit. I think everyone's been hit hard. Don't get me wrong about that. The pandemic has thrown a lot of things into chaos. But folks who are working in the hospitality industry, in some of our lower paying positions and service areas, they have, they were the first to lose their employment. Many cases that has not returned the ability to do that. Restaurants is a great example. They are, continuing to operate, but you do not need as many folks if you don't have people in the building, rotating quickly and you're at 25% capacity. So there's a group of folks who I think have particularly struggled in this, in the pandemic, and they have the potential to fill a lot of our most critical and essential needs quickly if we can encourage them and support them in coming back to college and pursuing one of these careers. But, when you have been out of work or you have been working at something that does not pay as well as your former job, it's tough to come up with tuition. It's tough to find the resources to commit to college. So
these prerequisite courses, normally you wouldn't be able to get financial aid.
Certainly not for things like English language learning. But that's these are, again, we're hoping that we'll be able to deliver an entire credential to someone with these dollars. And that is just it's a life-changing opportunity for the individual. And it's also, something that Wisconsin employers really need. They are in need of people who have strong skills.
Let's bring in Daniel now in Madison. Hi, Daniel.
Hi,
what's your situation?
Well, I'm an employer in manufacturing here in Wisconsin, and we employ graduates of MATC, and they've served us very, very well. They come very well trained, ready to go to work. And I, because of the business I'm in, I travel to Germany a lot, and I visit a technical colleges in Germany, and the government invests a great deal of money, many, many millions of dollars, in educating young people in technical skills. And in the modern world, I find that we have a shortage of these types of people. I would encourage parents or young people that they may be better served by going to a technical college and learning a trade, because there's a great shortage of technically skilled people to do the types of work that you're discussing. And manufacturing, for example, is fundamental to our economy, and MATC does a wonderful job of taking care of us. So thank you.
Daniel, thank you for that. President Foy, that must make you feel very good to hear from Daniel.
It does. Thank you very much for the call, Daniel. And I'm really, truly pleased that you are getting the talent and the workforce that you need. I'm absolutely thrilled that you are, willing to talk about it and to encourage others to take advantage of the tech college opportunities, because, that is really a testament to the relationship that Wisconsin's technical colleges build with employers. And it also, I think, is a demonstration of the kind of job opportunities and sort of, direct path from school into work that our students can expect, and they should expect that. It's really hard as an educator to hear about students who go on post high school and pursue a college degree and then can't seem to find work that reflects the skills that they have. And that is just not an experience that I want any technical college graduate to have. So thanks again for your call, Daniel. I really appreciate it.
Wisconsin Technical College System President Morna Foy telling us what her colleges are experiencing at this point in the pandemic. Still time for you to talk. 800-642-1234. Do you plan to finish your program? And is there a job waiting on the other side? What program are you in? How is coursework in the pandemic? Call in, email ideas at WPR.org. We'll be back in a minute with President Morna Foy here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Let's get back to our conversation with Morna Foy, the president of the Wisconsin Technical College System. Technical college grads are on the front lines of this pandemic. Nurses, EMTs, firefighters, law enforcement officers. Will technical colleges be able to graduate enough people to fill the future needs for these vital positions and communities? President Morna Foy, she is with us for 8 more minutes. Let's bring in Ricardo now in Madison. Hi, Ricardo.
Hi, good morning. I am a Madison College student. And basically what I just want to ask is that now with online classes being the new norm, what is the business strategy that we have in place in regards to inviting international students? Because, again, if online classes is going to be something the new norm, the revenue that we bring in into the state from international students, it's very, very high because they have to pay for the out-of-state tuition. And right now, Wisconsin, it's one of those states that charge undocumented students also out-of-state tuition. And so how would they make, you know, how would they, what would be the business strategy now to maybe even lift those laws that way to bring more, you know, to bring revenue or to bring enrollment dates higher?
Ricardo, thanks. President Foy.
First, I just want to address the issue of the new norm. And I think that virtual or distance education is not going to be the new norm in the technical college system. It's going to be a new option that is more available. So students who want to come here, and I think that that is a big attraction for technical colleges or international students, is that they actually want to come to the United States. They want to be here in our communities, and they want to take advantage of the incredible connections that we have with employers once they get their credential from a technical college. So I expect to see that to continue. I think that the issues about citizenship and residency and how colleges are allowed to apply tuition fee structures is a very complicated issue, and one that is a bit outside of the technical college's ability to actually affect. We are focused on making sure that the students that we do have on campus and that we do serve virtually are getting the supports that they need, and that, you know, we have a different way of applying tuition. So our out-of-state tuition is 150% of our in-state tuition. And the way that you become an in-state tuition payer differs from, say, a typical, you know, the UW system or other higher education systems. The legislature has laid out some very specific requirements that technical college students have to demonstrate. So those are things that we absolutely evaluate regularly because, you know, he's right. We want students to come to us. We want them to take advantage of our programs, and we also want them to stay in Wisconsin and work here once they graduate. That is a goal of ours. It's a part of our brief, if you will, our mission to provide a workforce for Wisconsin. So we're definitely going to make every effort that we can to make sure that it's students have the ability to come to us and stay here once they're graduated.
Let's bring in Rick now in St. Croix. Hi, Rick. Go ahead.
So, you know, our governors and our politicians are always talking about the cost of schooling. Doesn't matter if it's a college or a vo-tech. why don't we figure out how to give them low-rate interest loans instead of charging them these high-rate loans? And you can buy a house for 2, 3%, but these college kids are spending 6, 7, 8% on these school loans. Once that money would revolve, even if they just paid the principal back, it would just be a revolving account.
Yeah, and so, Rick, because our time is short here, President Foy, you know, he's very concerned about the amount of debt that students are racking up.
Right, and we have really tried to focus on the front end of that problem because many technical college students, to be honest, they don't want to take out loans, and they won't take out loans. And so, you know, they don't want to add to debt that they may already have for their house or their car as adult learners. But he's right. The federal government, federal loan, student loan program is a monster. And we will make every effort to try to convince Congress that we need to do more to help students access higher ed. I can't agree with him more.
Joshua now in Watertown is with us. Hi, Joshua.
Hey, Kate. So I know that we're short on time, but I got myself in a situation to where I signed up for a technical college and I was going for an associate's degree in criminal justice, but what my financial advisor, you know, there's a lot that's missed. I mean, they get down to the nitty gritty, but one thing that I wasn't advised is that the credits that I was taking were not transferable to a bachelor's degree. And that's, you know, the career path that I wanted needed a bachelor's degree. So I would have wasted 2 years of, you know, my college, which I'm still paying back, even though I didn't finish because obviously I had to start another college. I just wanted your callers to be aware, you know, you guys need to ask questions. You need to do your homework, so to speak. If you're going to get in debt, you need to understand what that debt is and what you're getting out of it. That's all.
Joshua, thank you. And Joshua, there, you know, these credits need to transfer.
Yes. I mean, if you're looking for a response from me, I am really sorry that Josh was in that situation. I just want to tell him that the tech colleges have made transfer their number one policy issue, and we are going to do everything we can to make sure that students don't have that experience in the future.
Yeah, and you want to have more flexibility in how you oversee these associate degree transfer options?
Correct. I mean, that's a big part of it is that, you know, we're about building pathways and stacking credentials because we are committed to the idea that we are all need to be lifelong learners. You know, the college degree or the credential that you get right now cannot be your last one if you want to have a successful career. So we have got folks with bachelor's degrees going to be coming back to technical colleges, and we've got folks with technical college credentials moving on to four-year institutions. Public and private, and we have to make that, it's up to us as the educators to make that process smooth, seamless, and not requiring students to repeat work or to waste their time.
President Foy, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much, Kate.
Morna Foy is president of the Wisconsin Technical College System. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.